clearly, we won't drag you into the politics of this. I won't ask you, Stephen, whether you're a Remainer or a Brexiteer. I was hoping we were done with those labels anyway. But let's just look at the legal aspect of this. Do the EU have some kind of grounds to say that AstraZeneca are breaching their contract for the supply of this vaccine?
Well, it's important to say that I can't comment 100% on AstraZeneca, right, because the AstraZeneca contract hasn't been released. What the EU did was release another contract, which I'm working on the basis that will be very similar. So in terms of if anybody breached any of these contracts is how I would talk about it. The EU has drafted these contracts. We call it boilerplate terms. They will be very similar to each other. But I can't 100% promise you about the AstraZeneca contract because that's not public yet.
Well, no, indeed. And I think it's clearly we're in the realms here of, speculation, reading between the lines, the grey area and guesswork. But overall, the principles are such that most of these arrangements and most of these contracts are based on the idea of reasonable best efforts. Can you explain the implications of that expression?
Yes. So I was thinking about this. If you order a pizza and that's a contract, you have a contract with a pizza shop.
Are we going Papa John's, Domino's or Pizza Hut?
I would say many are probably available, I imagine.
Well done. Classic lawyer response. I might go Prezzo. Anyway, let's carry on. I've been distracted.
You would have a contract.
We've got a pizza and I've purchased it. Therefore, I have paid money for them to make me a pizza. So that is a contract in a sense.
It is a contract. And there would be at one end of it would be force majeure. So if something bad happened to the pizza place and it couldn't deliver to you, it would have to be quite extreme. Then it would have an excuse to breach the contract. What the EU has drafted in these contracts is an inbuilt extra excuse, which is this reasonable best endeavours. And so the vaccine producers have an excuse that all they have to do is use their reasonable best endeavours. They just have to try. Difference between do and try. And the EU has gone, or whoever drafted this contract, I only suspect it is the EU, has gone slightly further, because reasonable best endeavours is defined in the contract. And in the contract, they give three examples of bad things that could happen, which won't leave the company liable. And if we stick with our pizza analogy, they are that the pizza restaurant runs out of cheese. If it runs out of ingredients, it would be able to turn around to you and say, I've only got a contract to best endeavors to supply you with the pizza. And I'm afraid we ran out of cheese. The other one is if something goes wrong with the batch of the vaccines. Now, I think that's if something happens in the pizza oven. So if the pizza oven burns the pizza, they would turn around and say to you, we only had a contract to use our best reasonable endeavors. So I'm terribly sorry that, as we said, the oven a bit dodgy. And the third one, which is probably crucial, is where the vaccine makers have an outstanding obligation to provide vaccine to someone else. So if the vaccine makers have a pre-existing obligation to provide vaccine to somebody else, if our pizza company had already taken an order for pizzas before you called in and you made your contract with it, and then it got round to making your pizza and went, terribly sorry, actually can't make you a pizza because I've had to give all the pizzas away, I've run out of pizzas. That is built into this contract. So where a vaccine supplier will have the defense, if you like, of saying, I used my reasonable best endeavors, but I had pre-existing contractual relationships. And because I had to give my vaccine to them, I cannot give it to
you. Does this suggest, therefore, that our friends and partners in the European Union don't know how queues work?
That is something I said. I have to make my articles interesting.
It's a great line, which I nicked with pleasure.
It is odd that comments were made by the EU's health commissioner yesterday that has caused confusion. And the comments that were made are not in line with what these contracts appear to say. And that, I think, is unhelpful.
Indeed, you start the article in The Spectator with the idea that, as you say, the EU rejects the logic of first come, first serve, but the reality is beginning to dawn. Clearly, there are a lot of politics at play here, Stephen. I'm imagining this is going to be bluster on the part of the EU. This isn't going to go to court, is it?
I can't say what will happen, and I can't say why the EU made the statements it made yesterday. I can say that as a matter of law, they look to be wrong. That's about as far as I can go without getting into it.
Yeah, I think I understand. And in the end, Stephen, it's we don't have a crystal ball, do we? But how do you see this playing out potentially?
Well, at the moment, the other thing I put in the article is that I don't think that there's been a, I don't understand how there has been a breach. So before you complain about the contract, you have to have experienced a breach. If you were sitting at home just waiting for the pizza to come, the contract hasn't been breached. It's only if it doesn't come by the time you expect it to come that it has been breached. And reading these contracts, there is the date when the first dose is due is the end of Q1 2021, which we're in Q1 2020. That means quarter of 2021, and that has a date. It will end at the end of March 2021, and thus from the 1st of April is when there might be a breach. But until that happens, there isn't anything to complain about. So it is curious to make public statements from your health commissioner yesterday when there doesn't on the face of it appear to be a breach.
Stephen, brilliant to have you on the show. Thank you for clarifying these complex legal issues. There you go, a very rare thing, a fun lawyer